This call is now being recorded.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
All righty. Hey, everybody. This is Rainey with Many Loose Children, a podcast by me where we talk to people who work to exact change and find solutions in our community. It came to me one day that in order to do that, in order to be leaders and work for our communities, we have to be in a good headspace. We have to be okay mentally and physically. So we're going to have to get ourselves together and pave the way. So my guest today, Christina Alexander Giles, and I are going to continue to talk our talk on narcissism, which is a mental disorder that can slow down our progression if you're a victim of it. But we're not going to just talk about narcissism today. We're going to talk about being guilted into forgiveness of narcissism. Chris, you want to take it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you.
How you doing today? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Wonderful. Oh, wow. After all those technical difficulties yesterday, I'm just glad to be able to get this done this morning. How about you?
Right. Yeah, I'm excited. I am super excited. So thank you again for having me. But, yeah, narcissism is the dirty little thing that we just sweep under the rug, and no one likes to deal with it, but it affects millions of people, whether we realize it or not. So I'm glad that we're continuing the discussion. I think it's very, very necessary. And, yes, I have lots of information. You know, I'm a nerd, like I say, so, you know, I got all the tools.
You want to recap shortly, I mean, just for a few minutes? For a minute or so, what we spoke about last week. Do you want to recap that? What led us up to this particular topic today, being guilted into forgiveness of narcissists?
Right. Okay. So basically, last week we discussed narcissism and how it affects us when we think about it from a moral aspect. A lot of times we hear, you know, when you only have one parent, you know, if you suffer from narcissism from a parental standpoint, you know, honor thy mother and father. And, you know, we talk about those types of things. And narcissism is a real situation that most people don't know about or know about only at a surface level. And it actually is very deep when it comes to thinking about narcissistic abuse. Narcissistic abuse is really no different than any other. It leaves the same scars. The only difference is those that suffer from narcissistic abuse, the scars are invisible. So you can go through life smiling, laughing, and no one will know unless you tell them or unless they see it firsthand. Mm-hmm. So that's where the conversation kind of began. And then we're going to just morph into different facets of it. And so today, I think we just kind of decided to talk about it from a forgiveness standpoint, because a lot of times the abused is guilted into forgiveness, you know, and being told that, you know, you should let it go, you know, that was in the past. But again, if you look at it from the standpoint of it being just as, you know, no different than any other abuse. When you see someone in a domestic abuse situation, you won't tell them, get over it. That's in the past. You know, we have an entire month for different types of awareness month. You know, you have awareness month for domestic violence. You have an awareness month. Matter of fact, well, I'm not sure how many others you have, so let me just be clear on that. But I know for certain we have a month for domestic violence. We have one day for narcissistic abuse awareness is June 1st. One day. So this affects over 138 million people in our country. We have to talk about it. So that's why we're having this conversation, and we're going to talk about it from a forgiveness standpoint, so that a lot of people that are guilted into forgiving can understand that, you know, you don't have to feel bad for the way you feel.
Yeah. Narcissism affects us in so many areas, in the family, on the job, in relationships, anywhere where we're in contact with people, narcissism can exist. So that's a really good point. Some people think that forgiveness is to regain trust. And it's just, I think, easier for people to say, so the same people that are telling folk to forgive are victims of narcissism themselves very often, since this can reach every area, you know, of our life. Some people don't even realize that they're being narcissists themselves by saying that without even knowing the situation. It's like the Band-Aid, that statement is like the Band-Aid, but it doesn't cover the wound. You know, you need air and light for the wound to heal. I mean, the Band-Aid is great, but you need air and light to heal the wound. And so the wound. So a lot of times I don't even think people realize what they're doing when they say that. It's just kind of like a catchphrase, you know. Oh, just get over it, you know. A good scenario of that, I think, is even in relationships, you know. I think that with some people, forgiveness, and let me ask you this first before I get into this scenario that I read about. Do you think that narcissists can ask for forgiveness? Can you forgive someone who's never asked for forgiveness? Can you forgive narcissism, and it hasn't stopped? You know, narcissism can be continuous. The only way to forgive to me is when the narcissist asks for forgiveness, and that means that they're well on their way to healing themselves. How can one person forgive when two people are still needing to heal?
Yeah. Well, I don't think that you can. I don't think that you can forgive someone who doesn't acknowledge the need for forgiveness, or B, is totally unaware of what they're doing. You have to be conscious of what you're doing in order to be able to apologize and to be able to make amends. So, No, I think where the forgiveness actually comes in is for the person that's actually, where the pain is being inflicted upon. I think that's where the forgiveness lies, and forgiving yourself for thinking that you have to accept what's being done to you. I don't think you have to forgive that person for what they've done, especially when they don't even recognize what they've done and don't think that they even need to, you know, try to correct the situation.
Yeah, yeah. I understand. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I read a blog called The Exhausted Woman, and I'll, in a moment, give credit to the woman who writes that blog. I'll do that in a moment. But this is what I like this view that she wrote. She wrote that forgiveness is to regain trust. It's hard to totally forgive because you never know when the narcissism will strike. A narcissist has to feel remorse or regret. But in order to feel that with some narcissists, there has to be a benefit, with the benefit outweighing the cost. I understood that one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the show of remorse is part of their calculated formula, where the expense of admitting to a mistake is small in comparison to the potential positive reaction. So in this case, this is a narcissist who it kind of shows what narcissism is. Narcissists have to have first an audience. Now, they will ask for forgiveness in front of an audience. Do you see what I mean? So you have to wonder if that's real forgiveness, because, you know, if that's something that you can trust. because if the expense, you know, is more, you know, is of it is more beneficial than the cost, it's not real narcissism. You know, it's not real forgiveness. And the scenario
right.
with that is, if you, let's say you're in your, you have a spouse that's narcissist. Let's just say that as just an example. And you try to discuss with that spouse how their offenses were so painful to you. And they say, you know, why do we have to keep talking about that? Didn't I apologize already? Why do we have to keep talking about that? Then, you know, just know that that apology was just a bad attempt for them to be accepted and have an easy life again. And that's what she means by the benefit of it. In other words, the cost is to not have, be able to get back into your life, not being able to just move forward. And, you know, just forgive me, and that's it. You know, you're not going to be able to discuss with them the pain that they cause, you know. So
right.
those type of things narcissists do as well. It's kind of like, you know, so you again, I think forgiveness is, that's why forgiveness is up to you, because each situation is different, and you know what, you know, has happened, and you know what, how the apology, if it's pure, you know, you will know. And that's why people should not just make a blanket statement about forgiveness, because they don't know the situation. I think that's what I'm trying to say. They just don't know the situation. They don't know the depth of the narcissism, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, I think also, when a narcissist apologizes, you have to think of it from an energy standpoint. When a narcissist is doing certain things to you, saying certain things, creating certain situations to pull certain emotion out of you, that's an energy thing. So, you know, they're basically, you know, in a nutshell, sucking the life out of you. So oftentimes a narcissist will say, because let's not forget, a narcissist has a sweet side. A narcissist has a good side. They smile, they grin. They don't, you know, that's what they show you externally. So you'll have a narcissist that will apologize just to continue to suck the life out of you.
Absolutely. And that's why we said last week's podcast that there are two people, the private person and the public person. And the public person is the fraudulent person, actually. You know, the private person is the one that you're speaking about right now.
Right. Behind closed doors, the thing that no one sees and that no one can believe. You know. But it absolutely happens. And so you really have to be mindful, and like you say, it is, forgiveness is completely and utterly up to you, you know, in your situation, because every situation is different, you know.
Right.
But I think when we, in terms of forgiveness, and I have a quote here, that I wanted to share, because I think it's really important to understand that sometimes when we talk about forgiveness, it isn't always forgiving another person. Sometimes it's to be able to forgive ourselves and to settle that in our own spirits. So this says, forgiveness is part of healing. It is not a prerequisite.
Right.
It is a point.
Okay,
I'm sorry. It is a point we reach when we understand and accept the truth about what happened to us from a position of emotional neutrality, without the pain, blame, and shame that our abusers shadowed on us. And that's a quote by Evelyn Ryan. And that just kind of stuck out to me, because it's, you know, we have to understand that we don't have to do what people tell us to do. You know, in a nutshell, whether it's for religious reasons, moral reasons, and, you know, I get the whole biblical thing. I get it. But when you think of it in terms of abuse, you have to think about it in terms of any other type of physical, mental, emotional. It's abuse. Abuse is abuse. You have to call a spade, you know. And I think the problem is a lot of people continue to sweep this under the rug and continue to call this normal, and it just continues for generation and generation and generation. And you have a lot of hurt people, and it doesn't have to be that way.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Does the fact that a narcissist has, you mentioned something in last week's podcast that struck me, and you said that narcissists, somewhere down the line, they have been hurt themselves.
Absolutely.
Now, knowing that or guessing that, it makes sense, but coming short of being sure of that, are we supposed to continue to suffer because they continue to suffer?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay. I'll tell you what. One day my narcissist said to me some years ago, I know why you feel the way you do. And I turned around. I wasn't in their presence because they can't do that in one-on-one. It has to be a buffer or a barrier there. I was on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I said, why? And they said nothing.
Hmm.
Came really short of talking about it. See, because my point is this. Some narcissists know exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, so sometimes they're going to have to examine themselves and be honest with themselves, because some people feel like, because see, saying nothing is narcissism after you make a statement like that.
Right.
Because now that person wants me to run around behind them and, well, why is it that way? Why is it that way? That's mm-hmm. like a mind game. That's like a trick, a mind game, which is more narcissism.
Right. They created a situation to where you run, like you say, run around behind them. And it's, again, it's an energy thing. They're sucking the life out of you because now you want to know. You're in their face. You're asking questions. So you're all about them.
You want to know if they know. You want to know if they know, because you're thinking at this point that you're getting ready, y'all both getting ready to start healing, you know? That's what you're thinking. Okay.
So they realize
the situation, maybe we're getting ready to talk about this. And then after that, they said nothing.
Yeah. So you're fixated on that, and they suck the life out of you. That's a prime example of how it goes on a regular basis, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. By letting me know that they're aware there's a problem, but coming very short of saying, of taking responsibility for it.
Right.
None of us are perfect, you see. For years, I blamed myself because of that, those verses, those Bible verses. I blamed myself. But that, again, is why people will meticulously pick the Bible to suit their own purposes. You see, they will pick and choose and rearrange things to, let's say, still feel superior.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I'm
very much aware of what the Bible states on a lot of topics. I mean, you know, born in the Baptist church, you know, hearing nothing but the same old stuff all the time. It's been pounded and pounded and pounded in our head, but it doesn't give us a lot of time solution as to how to address but you're constantly being bombarded with these Bible verses. For guilt. For guilt.
Absolutely.
You see?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and see, it's different for me because I grew up in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So we didn't read directly from the Bible, but I did change the churches, over time as I got older. Now, at this point, I'm not really religious at all. But so as I go back and I study and just research certain things, because that's what I absolutely love to do, pick apart stuff, I think it's just so funny how, like you were talking about the Bible verses, people will absolutely pick and choose, and they will, they pound that, it's Exodus 20:12. That's the honor thy mother and father, and your days will be long. They love to tell you that. But why don't they ever talk about Ephesians? Why don't they ever talk about, you know, how parents are to provoke their children to anger? Why isn't that something that's discussed as well? Because that's basically a lot of times what happens, and then the guilt, the abuser wants to guilt you into being disrespectful or dishonorable or all of those things without understanding the provocation behind it all. That didn't just come out of thin air. It came from somewhere, you know.
Well, even if people want to deal with that and believe that that's all it means, then that should also let them know that you can't continue with malice. You can't continue to give people reasons for resentment, you see.
Right, exactly.
I think I mentioned to you before in our private talk that my children were my saving grace. They showed me who I was, and I understood more about, that's when I really started studying the topic of narcissism, because my children told me, and, you know, gently just pulled me to the side and told me who I was acting like. And I think I mentioned even in last week's podcast how much that hurt me, because what I decided to have children was to be different, you know, to not do that, to show my children love. Let me tell you, they used to get sick of me. We'd be in the mall and I would grab their hand. It seemed like I was obsessed with letting my children know that I had truth, that I loved them the way a parent should love them, and that it was genuine. And so, you know, you can even overdo that. You see? You can overdo that. But some of the things that I'm sure I didn't say or do things not on purpose that was ugly to them, it was my actions and some of those decisions that I was making. I think I was trying too hard.
Oh, same.
And they couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
You see, trying a little too hard, and they couldn't breathe. But that helped me. That helped me a lot. When I was thinking about the forgiveness part being the Band-Aid, because you need air and light. Well, what is air and light in this instance? Air and light is the narcissist forgiving themselves for how they've treated you. Because once they do that, then they perform and act differently. They approach you differently. See, what narcissists will do, they will study you. And, of course, on the job, people know you well enough to study you. If it's a spouse, they know you well enough to study you. If it's a family member, they know you well enough to study you. Narcissists, it can't work if you're not in close proximity to them. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It has to be a situation where you're in close proximity. So every rumor, every lie, anything that they've ever, remember, that they've heard about you, they never question it. They need to believe those things to feel that their narcissism is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so as a parent, if someone came and told me, you know, your daughter did so-and-so to me. If I truly love my daughter, I would question that, especially if that's something that did not, I believe, was not her. I would question that. What narcissists yes. do, they believe everything, negative thing. It's like they look for it, and then they're pleased. It's just amazing mm-hmm. to me. And then they're pleased. Never investigate. Never try to see, you know, never. And so, you know, you have to know that there's something wrong with that, especially when it comes from people who are close to you. You know, who can say, you know what, I don't believe that. Not that your children can't do this or that, but the first response should not be to believe it. But see, that's narcissism, because they need to see your low points. They need to know that you're continuously going through some things mm-hmm. to feel okay about what they're going to continue to do.
They live in a negative place. That's just, they live in a negative place. Well, from my experience, that's yes. just, they live from a negative place, so everything you get from it is going to be negative and toxic.
So what happens when a narcissist, and it's general, but what happens when a narcissist says in front of a group of people, here's another way they do it, in a way, quote-unquote, in front of a group of people. What about those invitations to, if it's family function? Just out the blue, oh, you invited. This is a family thing. Or if it's a spouse, flowers at work, for everybody at work to see. Or if it's a coworker, a gift, or buying you lunch, and that type of thing. What do you do when you're a narcissist who hasn't asked for forgiveness and who hasn't healed? How do you respond to that? Because I've responded to invitations, and it was the worst thing I could have done for my family. I've spent money and prepared to go up the road to spend time with narcissists, thinking that things were going to be better. Just try. Just do your part. That's the gift. Just do your part. Just go ahead. Drag my children. Drag my other loved ones down here, because we've been invited, so we're just going to see. And it gets to a point where the people you're dragging down the road, they ain't going no more, because they have other options. We all do. You know? You see what I'm saying? When you have options, you try one more time, and something just crazy blows up. Because if it's family, the whole family is full of victims are affected by the narcissist. You see, if it's coworkers, the whole job space is affected. And if it's a spouse or, you know, a boyfriend or something like that, or a girlfriend, the whole relationship or friendships, they're affected also. So when do you stop? When do you stop? When do you just get smart and just stop? When do you trust them? At what point? Or can you ever trust them? How can you tell if you can trust them? I know that's a lot, but it kind of relates.
Yeah. Oh, no, but I'm with you. And here's the funny thing. I have something written down on the little notes right here. And it was actually some advice from my mother. My father died when I was young, so it was just her and I. And she would always tell me, you know, as I was growing up and becoming a teenager and going through the motions, she would always tell me that a man will do to you what you let him. As I got older, I replaced the word man with anyone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Anyone, including my family or my friends.
Absolutely.
It comes to a point. And it's her own advice. But it comes to a point where you have to choose you. The obligation that, and this is just my opinion, and I'm just, you know, answering the question that you presented to me. You have to choose you at a certain point, or you will go insane behind being obligated. You only have one chance in life, one time on this earth to get it right, one time to love as hard as you can, one time to leave whatever legacy you feel in your heart is the legacy that you want to leave. I think that it's imperative that whenever we feel the feeling to stop being obligated and to love on ourselves more, then we should absolutely stop. No more trying, no more sucking it up, no more trying to get it together so I can go over here and fool with Uncle whoever and ain't such and such a whatever. I think it comes to a point to where you just really honestly have to choose you.
So that's where we get to the point where we're not guilted into
exactly.
forgiveness, because we're talking about being guilted into that. And, So, you know, as always, and people say all the time, you know, Rainey, it seems like every podcast you do, you find a way to maneuver things back to the Black Baptist Church. Yes, I do. Simply because that is the place still where Black people congregate in mass on Sunday. Again, I will say without any reservation that the Black church has to do a better job of telling us what thus says the Lord. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't talk about my true beliefs on this podcast. I don't know if I ever will. I believe in God. What I'm saying is, I haven't seen where the Black Baptist Church has concentrated on the healing aspect of what it is that they're standing in the pulpit on Sunday morning saying what the Lord says. I don't need people to recite Bible verses to me. I told someone, you asked someone a while back, what is a Bible scholar? And they only talked about the Christian Bible. And I laughed. And I said, you know, that I, in my opinion, that's not the true essence of the word. You have to know something or enough about more than one religion to consider yourself a Bible scholar, because guess what? Every religion has a guidebook. Every religion has a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you need to try to, people need to try to study more. They need to show themselves approved more. They need to look into, since this starts in the church, I'm suggesting that people look into for healing more than just what we know and what we've been taught. And not saying that you should not remember or believe or lean toward what you've been taught, but consider yourselves a Bible scholar. You got to respect and recognize that there are other Bibles out there, first of all. There's more than one. And this is why you have so many people, and that's why there's such a mass exodus from the Black Baptist Church, because we're not healing in the Black Baptist Church.
Yeah, we do a lot of covering. Like you said, a lot of Band-Aids, and then we also do a lot of sweeping under the rug. We love to sweep stuff under the rug. So, yeah, that's definitely, it's really in all facets. I think it's just a time that we're in now to where it's really just time to pull everything back and just to deal with what is as it is, and just try to heal and learn to grow from there, because it's all about evolution. We can't continue to create a generation of hurt people. That's not going to get us anywhere. It hasn't gotten us anywhere, and it will not. We have to heal.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'll say this, and then I'll ask you, maybe you've already told us before we go. For me, as far as healing, my healing has been done by taking control back over my own life. I decide when, who, and how to contact, or even whether I want to at all. I don't worry about what people say anymore. I will say that I used to, because you got a lot of outsiders, friends of family, friends of coworkers, friends of loved ones, who are just getting snippets of the truth. You see what I'm saying? So I
right.
don't worry about what those people say anymore or what they think, because they don't know the story. I don't get excited about invitations anymore, because especially if your narcissist hasn't changed. You're setting yourself up, you know,
right.
and your own family up. And narcissists like an audience, that I do know. They feed off of your responses. They need to witness your responses. They need to witness how what their actions have affected you. Because you see, they need to know if it's working, and they need to see still how much control they have over you. You cannot believe that a narcissist has changed unless you see evidence of that. You just simply can't. So you can love a narcissist, but you can't trust one until they're no longer a narcissist, you see. So
yeah.
you're defeating your own purpose, and you look up 20 years later, the same thing is going on. You look up. I even had someone say to me one day, a friend of mine, and I had to get her straight. She goes, is that still going on? Asking me though. Okay? Because they saw my narcissist in the store. And I imagine my narcissist had a talk with them. A childhood friend growing up. Is that still going on? Y'all still doing that? And I asked her, I said, the only reason I ain't cussing you out is because you know the story. But you know the story. You just don't know my story. Because I've never, see, here's the thing. I never really sat down and talked to a lot of people about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, I heard, you know, I've been hearing from a whole lot of people through the years what was being said. Not only the narcissist, but the narcissist's family as well. You
mm-hmm.
see? I never tried to explain it. I prayed about it and just thought it would all go away.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but to this day, I hear people telling me, oh, you know, you don't make phone calls, you don't call. And I'll say, you know, I'm not going to cuss you out for that. What I'm going to tell you is, I'm going to tell you about the situation. Now, this same person talked to me about their own narcissist. But see, their narcissist is deceased right now.
Oh, okay.
You know? So yours, I know why yours stopped. So how dare you call me about this situation?
Right.
You know, we're still friends. But people will, you know, and that just goes back to the Black Baptist Church. Because people would rather believe that it is disrespect than it is you're trying to cope, self-cope and heal the way you handle things, you see.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, I have just a little bit more to say about the healing part.
Okay.
And I'm going to end mine on a note of a question. And I just want, you know, everybody that listens to really think about that question in their own time and in their own space. Because I think it's a very valid one that we really need to start asking ourselves when we think in terms of abuse. Because narcissistic abuse is absolutely real. It is a real thing. It is a real thing in the church, the home, the workplace. It is real. Absolutely real. Okay, so about healing. Healing requires fully understanding why we love people who inflict pain on us. Healing is a process of self-discovery, self-analysis into the root causes of why we were victimized, addressing how our beliefs contributed to that, correcting our skewed beliefs, and building our self-worth and as well as healing our trauma wounds. Okay? Right. I think it's really important, see, because when we get so fixated on forgiving other people, we forget about ourselves. And we know how easy it is to forget about ourselves, because even in everyday life, I know for myself, you know, as a wife, as a mother, you know, as a small business owner, you tend to put things and other people before yourself. So I think it's really important that when we think of in terms of forgiveness and when we think of terms of healing, it goes hand in hand. You have to be able to forgive yourself. You have to be able to really sit back in your own time and analyze yourself and figure out certain things about yourself. And that is what makes you the strongest. I think once you take the time, stop trying to buy their love. Stop trying to all whatever it is. You know, when you redirect that energy onto yourself and really heal and really forgive yourself, I think that is the most absolute beautiful, most beautiful thing ever. And I think that's the purpose of the conversation is that we get to that point. The question that I wanted to pose, I found this article and I'll make sure that I share it with you. But it had this in there and it just, this really struck a chord with me. It says, we can achieve justice and emotional relief when our attackers are found charged, found guilty, and punished for their evil deeds. Our victimization is then validated. Our egos are soothed, and we can achieve some sense of safety, security, and closure. But what happens when a criminal gets away with murder and is free to roam and victimize whomever he or she chooses to target? Isn't that what serial thieves do? Isn't that what serial murderers do? Isn't that what serial narcissists do? We have to really be honest and real with ourselves. This is a real thing, and people walk around with hurt and pain, disease, illness, addiction, because of narcissistic abuse. It's real.
It's real. So on that note, I'm going to say we're going to end this podcast, but I want to mention one thing to you. Do you think we can do an upside to this narcissism thing, a podcast on it, to show what narcissism, the way it's caused us to, the type of people that it's caused us to be? Most people who are victims of narcissism themselves go the opposite way. And we try our best to do the things that we feel like. You know, I think it makes us feel for people, care for people, and do for people. What do you think about that?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the upswing of that next Thursday and talk about the benefits, if there is any benefit. Forgive me for that term, because that's not something that normally you find benefits in, but there's a benefit to being a victim of anything, and it just depends on how you channel that, what you've done to work, you know, when you're working on yourself, what it has, some of the good things that, and the good qualities that we can have based on narcissism by not trying to be, continue to succumb to narcissism. Can we talk about that next week?
We absolutely can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we want to give people who are victims of this some hope and something to look forward to and something to kind of help them in their healing as well, to remove themselves from narcissism by being the opposite of their narcissist. How about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think
that's
perfect.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Chris. I love you. Let's talk about real quick what your business is. I think we got 50 minutes. It's gonna be a big file, but we can do it in a few minutes. Talk about your business, how people can reach you, and after that, I'll put your information in the show notes, and then we'll talk again on this podcast next Thursday.
Okay, well, I am the owner of Nerd Girl Chic. That is my pillow, my little pillow company that I absolutely love. So you can find us on Facebook at Nerd Girl Chic. Also on Instagram, it's all one word. And I am everywhere. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm even on YouTube. So just look me up under that name in all of those places, and you are sure to find me. And, yeah, I guess that's about it, Ms. Wayne.
Well, thank you so much for participating in this. I'm hoping that this continues to lead to anyone who's dealing with this disorder, who's a victim of this disorder, can help heal. That's what it's all about. And in the words of Christine Alexander Giles, we gonna heal today.
Oh yes, we gonna heal today. All right, you have a good one, Miss Rain.
Okay, I love you. I'll talk to you soon. Okay,
bye bye.
All right, bye bye.